Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, weekends and weekdays, usually at 8 o'clock, sometimes at 3 o'clock, sometimes at 6:30, other times at 9:30 or 10 or 11. Whatever it is, we have a show, and you're going to get the facts, the truth, and nothing but the facts. You get no media lies, media falsehoods. You'll get critical, thoughtful analysis and thinking. Let me tell you a little about the parameters of this show. I have a great interest in literature, Russian, French, German, English, American, and I have a significant interest in great books such as War and Peace, Milton's Paradise Lost, E.M. Forster and Passage to India, and T.S. Eliot and C.S. Lewis and many other great writers and books. I also have an interest in, I have a theological basis. I have a MDiv in Princeton Theological Seminary in biblical languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, and I have a great interest in Christian thought, although I reject no other religions, and I wish to dialogue with them and know them and understand them, because I know that Jesus cares about everyone that has ever lived, whatever their religion. Third, this show has, I'm a political conservative, but I adhere to the to follow Christ in his directions with his concern for the poor and poverty. Let me tell you a little bit about myself here in this show so I can clarify. The show is going to be about the issue of contraception, which is sort of allied to abortion. I'm going to talk about this and why I have a concern for contraception, as the Roman Catholic Church does. This show is a politically incorrect show. We're not in for media lies, media falsehoods, or anything false or untrue. We're interested in honest discernment and intellectual honesty and getting at the truth and facts. Second, the show has a Christian orientation. I welcome all faiths because the face of Jesus is found in every person, in every faith, everywhere. And this show has a Christian orientation, but I welcome all. Third, I'm a political conservative, but I do follow the direction of Christ in caring for the poor and underclass people in the world. I follow him because I know that he chose his disciples, fishermen, tax collector, and many of the people that followed him were denominated sinners, meaning either ritual sinners or moral sinners. He associated, it is said of Jesus that, who is this man that associates with, who is this man that spends his time with dregs in Nazareth? Who is this man that is from Nazareth? How can there be any good in him? They couldn't understand why he was associating with these poor underclass people. I understand it because I know he looks at the heart of people and their being and not at their economic status. This show has I run two radio shows, two Christian radio shows, a blog talk radio show, and a podcast radio show, and these shows have a Christian orientation, and have many visitors, even from Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Iraq, Muslim countries. I welcome my Muslim brothers and sisters. I love them. I know that Jesus died for them and loves them, and I deny no one his love. He died for all men and women from the beginning of age to the end of time. He excludes no one. And so, yes, I have many visitors from many, many countries visiting these podcast show and this blog talk radio show, and over 4,300 visitors have been to my podcast show, and many have been to my blog talk radio show, even from Saudi Arabia, the most conservative Arab country you can find, who is listening to my Christian thoughts. I have a friend, a philosophy student from Iran, was also a great fan of my Christian books. So which brings me to the question of an issue of, I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. The Christian books are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables. The parables are the voice and words of Christ from the mind of God. They are unbelievably profound and deep. And we cannot read them, the words of Christ, more often than he gives them to us. I also have written a book on the Psalms, my analysis of 150 Psalms. This book, the Psalms, to me, are the the essence of God speaking to us. They are Jewish lyric poetry. They challenge us in their profundity and depth. I cannot stop reading them because they are not to be stopped in terms of reading. They offer us spiritual food. And John Donne, the great English poet, said of the Psalms, they're the manna of the church. That is the assessment of one of the great, great writers of all time, John Donne. I think that the Psalms challenge us in any translation. And I challenge you to look at to read the Psalms in any English translation and read War and Peace and Crime and Punishment, which you will tire of first. I don't think you'll tire of the Psalms because they are so great and so stirring and so spiritually great. There is not enough time in the world to read the Psalms. Next, I'm planning other books, 4 blog books of my blogs, literary and religious. I'm planning a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm planning a book on analysis of the book of Job, which is, he was an Edomite, not Jewish, and the story of Job is very, very great. It's a great book. I suggest you read it, and don't forget it. Don't ever forget it. It's greatness. Anything in the Bible comes from the mind and thoughts of God, and therefore we cannot read it often enough with enough attention and concern. We understand the depth and thinking of the Bible. We understand that it is the mind and thought of God as he wishes to convey to humanity what those minds and thoughts are. And next, I am writing a book on the miracles in the Bible, on the book of Job. I'm writing a book on pretrial motions, another law book, which I partially completed, pretrial motions and demands and notices. It's pretrial motions and hearings. I'm working on that in criminal law. I have also written a book on evidence, res gestae, which is a evidence book chapter in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've written an encyclopedia article in New York Jurisprudence entitled Criminal Law Demands and Notices. And I've also written a book on law and the family, the chapter on paternity. I think it's quite interesting. It's in many libraries. All these books are in many, many university and law school libraries. And finally, I've written 3 major law review articles, 2 from Academicus, the Albanian Scientific Journal, which has been bought by the State Department in 2 instances. I've written a book on for the Syracuse Senate Law Review. I wrote a journal article on criminal procedure that has been bought by the U.S. Supreme Court and the State Department. All these 3 of these journal articles have been bought by many, many universities throughout the world. You can find them everywhere and anywhere in any university library. So let's see what I'm going to talk about tonight. It's a very interesting topic. It's a challenging topic. It's a topic that a lot of people don't want to hear about, which is contraception. Now, the position of the church, as it is on abortion, is that all life is of infinite and eternal value. We believe that Jesus died for all men and women, whether unborn, whether about to be born, or can be born, or on the throes of death. He cares deeply about every human being that has ever been brought to life. So if we understand that, we'll understand the issue on abortion, certainly, which is the value of the unborn and their potential for life. But next, I want to talk about contraception. That's a little more difficult to grasp. Why should anybody be concerned about stopping life? Well, the reason is that Christianity and Jesus values all forms of life and being. We believe we cannot stop life, the life that Jesus cast down his life for. We don't believe we can still stop it responsibly, which is what contraception is about. We believe that Jesus cares for all people and that they should be allowed their lives because their lives have infinite and eternal value. That's true of the unborn children, that of the subject of abortions, the issue there is clear, but also in contraception. The issue is quite similar because we understand contraception to be an act of sin in preventing the conception of life. And we believe life for Jesus is infinitely important, greatly important. The world doesn't understand this, but it doesn't understand Jesus and what he proclaims. He proclaims that he can give people eternal life through faith. He believes that all people, every person, regardless of their economic status, regardless of their race, regardless of whatever they are as persons, tax collectors, sinners, fishermen, whoever they are, their value is infinite, and they are destined by faith to share the joy and love of Christ in heaven, along with the saints and angels. That's the bottom line for contraception, the value of life and the value of life that Jesus places on people. He doesn't place the value of their physical life, although he values that. He values them because of their being, who they are, their potential. He sees everybody as great, not because they're wealthy, not because they're educated, but they are great because they are great in the eyes of Christ. He wants everybody to share the love and joy with him of heaven forever and ever. That's why in contraception we oppose it, because we oppose people being prevented from sharing that love and joy in their lives. As much as I want to say about this tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand my point. A lot of people see these statements, whether the anti-abortion statement or contraception statement, as anti-woman, but it's not. It has nothing to do with women. It has to do with being and life. That is really what we are concerned with here. And Jesus' concern is with eternal beings that have the potential for eternity with the angels and saints in heaven. That's why he is concerned about people, not because of their rights or anybody's rights. He's concerned with their eternal value as human beings. He doesn't deny it. He's not prepared to give it up, and neither am I. Everybody is infinitely valuable, whether unborn or prevented from being born. To prevent birth and contraception is an act of gross sin, because we understand that human beings have an eternal destiny that Christ wants to share with them in heaven, with all the saints, in joy and love. That is the destiny he proclaims for both the unborn and for the ones who are trying to be born and prevented by contraception. He sees the infinitude of their value and wishes them to be with him forever and share the joy and love that he's able to give them, with the joy he shares and love he shares with the angels and saints in heaven. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk, and I hope you got my point. Thanks very much for listening.